5, just hold. Okay.
Oh, you didn't change the image, buddy. It's still episode 143.
Yep.
That's okay. Just go live.
We're live. I can fix that. We're live right now, though.
All right. We are live.
A little bit of technical difficulties there at the beginning, but I think everyone's on, and I think we're good right now.
Yeah, looking good. Looking good.
Producer Matt is in his outdoor office.
Yes. I decided to bring it outside. It's a gorgeous day. It's going to be a nice weekend too. So why not? Really cool. Why not? Yeah.
Soak up the last of summer.
Gotta do it.
Welcome everybody to Live at the Hive, episode 144. I am Dan Nedelko.
Matt Stefanich.
April McCall.
And today we are going to be talking about planning your holiday season during these extraordinary times. Yeah. Some of the differences that are occurring out there in the world right now, and how you can prepare, pivot, and adapt to what's going to be a very interesting holiday season. Stacy.
Hey, Stacy. Okay. How's it going?
Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, I think, people, I'm kind of getting sick of the word kind of unprecedented times, but it's going to be we're going to have a holiday season like we've never had before. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to be switching up your strategy, or you're not thinking about the holidays right now, you really should be. And it's really important to make sure that we have everything nailed down before early October even.
I think under normal circumstances you should be planning your Christmas campaigns, regardless of what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. Planning your Christmas campaigns now, rather than trying to play catch up at the last minute, which would be very, very bad to do, especially this year,
especially now since everyone is online. I've heard many sites in e-commerce especially have had Black Friday almost consecutively over a whole bunch of different days. So with all of your audience being online this year, now would be a great time to start planning for that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So why don't we take a quick step back, and Matt, maybe you can throw up that presentation.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a pretty simple little presentation. I did it pretty quickly. So just looking at, okay, we put together some key dates, and that does exist. And when we're talking strategies here, we're really talking from a high strategic level. And I think that's important to distinguish. Again, we talk about that a lot, distinguishing between your strategy and those tactics, right? Yeah. Not confusing the two. But here are some key dates. Obviously, September 3rd is just around the corner. So if you've got some back to school things to approach your customers and your leads with, then certainly now is the time to get that queued up and teed up. Also, back to school is traditionally just back to business and back to activity, and people are finished their vacations. Yep. It's a little bit different these days because some people are unfortunately on vacation. Hi, Courtney. Hi, Sabrina. And not to make light of that at all, but it does change how, people are how the market's going to behave during that time. Yeah. So let's go to the next slide and just talk a little bit about, what's changed, with, especially parents with younger kids. There's a lot of anxiety, uncertainty, and stress over back to school.
Yeah.
That's normal, but it's been elevated several degrees of elevation for that. Mm-hmm. So, it's important to understand that people under normal circumstances going into September, October, November, December, these are high stress times all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. People get worried about, am I going to have enough money? Now think about the circumstances here. Mm-hmm. Am I going to have enough money? Do I have a budget? How can I, how are we going to get through this season? Mm-hmm. It's where there's an actual Mayo Clinic link that I threw in there as well. That's probably a good read if you're feeling that anxiety already.
Yeah,
is to prep for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go to the next one and just have a look at what can we do from a strategic perspective. And I won't spend a ton of time here because we've got a lot of things to cover. Hello, mm-hmm. Hillary.
Hey, Hillary, how's it going?
Hey, good to see you. Yeah. Hope you're staying safe.
Yeah, for sure.
So some of the strategies I think that are important, and again, this doesn't just apply for e-commerce. I think it applies for pretty much every business, that during these times, practicing empathy to your audience is extremely important. You know, just as an example, in April, I think you can vouch for this as well, because you're on client calls all the time. is always opening with talking about how people are doing, right?
Yeah, I think it's really important to judge exactly how the client is feeling or how the business is doing. Everyone has been running around with their heads cut off for a while at the beginning, but now that things are steady, so still nice to build the relationship there too, for sure.
Absolutely. Even if it's like a touch base without like an offer, so to speak. I know, April, we've sent through the past couple of weeks for a couple of clients just like touch base email campaigns, right? We're just touching base with them, making sure that people like are safe, if there's anything that we can provide for them, right?
Be flexible. As you said, practice the empathy. Definitely has worked well for us.
It's a very powerful tool just in general. And I think empathetic marketing is gaining and obviously a lot of popularity given these times. You know, brands that really do genuinely care about their customers and the health of the customers and their mental health of their customers, I think it's a big bonus. That's what people are looking for right now, right? From people they purchase from, they want to know that they're purchasing from good people, right? And not just someone trying to chase down a sale, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will take that point on here. You have a reduced friction in your presentation. And I think that's really important too, especially, you know, if you offer online services or if you have an online store, it's really important that you're making sure that your experience for that customer is going to be as flawless as possible, right? Simplifying the checkout process, making sure that, you know, you're not taking any unnecessary information that you don't need from people, and just making the process a bit easier, just because it is going to be a stressful time for people. People aren't going to have as much time as they usually do each holiday season, right? And if you create those steps for people, it's just going to set you up in the right position to make sure you have a successful holiday campaign.
That's right.
Or back to school.
You know, one of the things that in terms of reducing friction, you know, ungate some of your content, especially high value content. Give it away, right? Allow people to grab that information easily. And you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive in terms of how you would approach that from a marketer standpoint, especially, you know, for the stuff that we do, which is all about lead generation. That's our goal. So that so that we can acquire a customer, build a relationship, starting out, and it's a little bit of an extension of empathy. Is to start out and just give it away. Don't gate it, right? Then you can have other opportunities where that person will come back to you. As an example, we do a lot of free guides, free checklists, you know, giveaways. And that leads to high perceived value offers. It would be kind of cool if you pulled up, ran into this business yesterday called Cub Coats. Okay, super cute company. Now their primary line of business is clothing and hoodies and things like that. They've also got those kids masks, but if you look at that, they've got a couple of sections here. Over there. Yes, Miguel, we do all love freebies.
It's just looking up really quickly.
Matt's having technical issues. So they've got, maybe just refresh it.
Let me just reload the page.
There we go. Starting to happen.
So what Cub Coat sells are reversible hoodies for kids, but they've created characters around those, which is a great idea. Then you can see here, they've got free ebook downloads, which are great. And on the free ebook downloads, you get your ebook, free books, stories, friendship, happiness, adventures. So they're practicing empathy and positivity. It's totally in line with their brand. And they've got a really strong brand, in my opinion. I found them it's pretty captivating in terms of how they do it. They also have sticker books and some other really good it's almost tertiary content. Like it's not their main product line, mm-hmm. but introducing these types of things is extremely powerful.
Makes them valuable, right? They've taken it a step beyond just being a clothing brand, right? Like they've added not only personalities, but now giving mm-hmm. away some ebooks. Like they're becoming more valuable to a consumer.
You got a blue jay in your backyard? Yeah,
I do have a blue jay in my backyard. Yeah, you can see I have like a hummingbird fever. My parents like having the birds around, so yeah.
There you go.
Get a little bit of a blue jay.
He's joining the live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Cub Coats is a great example of practicing some of these strategies that we're talking about. And if we jump back now over to the last slide, we can just have a look at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Flexible options. This Christmas season, especially if you're in e-commerce, give your customers as much flexibility in terms of ways to pay, products, bundles, you know, add free value giveaways. Be very flexible. I think one of the things that's super important, actually, April, we ran into this about a week and a half ago, didn't we? We're looking to support some local businesses for a gift for Stacy because it was her anniversary.
Yeah.
And some of them, honestly, we won't name any names, but some of them didn't even have gift card options.
No, it was very interesting. Yeah. Definitely make sure you put a gift card option in there because there are lots of people, as we said, during this time are online. So it's just a perfect way for someone to, you know, consume or purchase into your business. So, yeah, we did run into that quite a few times, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, surprising. This is pretty surprising.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's definitely important for sure.
Oh, I didn't know I could feature a comment. Hillary says, yes, that's cool. I'll share this with my clients. Ease of use will definitely be critical while families learn how to navigate e-commerce routes. For sure. And we've already seen the numbers come out from Shopify and various other, like Amazon's on fire, right?
Yeah.
But there's a focus for a lot of people to want to feature. You're welcome, Stacy. She said she loves the gift. You're welcome. We did find an alternative for Stacy, by the way, and a local business as well to support them. There's a huge push for consumers to want to support local businesses as opposed to potentially supporting an Amazon, right? And so the opportunity is there for, and now we're delving into the e-commerce side, but I think I talked to a couple of clients and potential clients this week, even that have reinforced, even in the B2B space, they've reinforced, they want to support a Canadian company. They want to keep it as local as possible. You know, even though we're digital marketing, we're international, we're getting a lot of that direct feedback from clients on the front line. So I think that's a theme that you can really capitalize on to your benefit is teaming up strategically with local, pick your favorite local charity to work with them as well. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a bit of that empathy. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I think we have a question here from Benny B. Someone on our Instagram is asking us a question. And the question was from Courtney, and it says, will many retailer chains closing stores for e-commerce impact your marketing results? Like, for example, David's Tea, will small tea e-commerce stores be priced out of PPC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that goes without saying. You know, some of the larger traditional retail chains that didn't adapt well are now gone. And those that have pivoted, like, for example, one of the success stories with their e-commerce offering, even though it's completely, it's a little bit of a head turner, is Best Buy. Best Buy figured out a way to, and they've increased their sales remarkably by creating a marketplace option, very similar to Amazon. And they work very closely with Amazon as opposed to looking at Amazon as a competitor. Now that's several degrees larger business, right? But the e-commerce aspect of everybody's life is now, I feel like it's fully ingrained in people's brains on this is how I can shop, right? And some people will not want to go to stores during Christmas.
I have to say, like, even with Instacart, when, you know, things were locked down, Instacart, my family and I just used it, and now I continue using it because I realized, oh, it saves so much time, right? So,
Yeah, and I think, and we'll dive into the second half of Courtney's question there in a second. I just wanted to point out one other thing about the psychology that's gonna happen. The weather's gonna turn. The days are gonna get shorter. This pandemic is not going anywhere soon. It's going to take. It's going to tax on people like quite heavily. When you know now it's September, Matt, you can sit in your backyard and enjoy a beautiful August day, but you're not going to be doing that in mid-November. Well, maybe.
Especially if we do get that second wave that people are talking about, right? I mean, we have looser restrictions right now, but honestly, who knows? Like in the next couple months, we might be back at phase one or phase two, right? Yeah. So it's really important to make sure that your plan is not only well thought of, but you're flexible with it too.
Yep. Absolutely. So the second part of Courtney's question was, for example, Davis Tea, will small tea e-commerce stores be priced out of PPC? It depends. I don't think so. PPC is obviously very, it's an auction, right? So depending on your competition and how your competition, if you're going head to head with, if you're going head to head with David's Tea one-to-one, probably not a great idea if you're a smaller tea location. But one strategy and tactic that you can rely on is if you've got a good list of leads, and I hope that you do, and you're tracking with those leads, is create custom audiences on Facebook or Google and market to your audiences and create lookalike audiences so you can target to your specific area, your specific location, and try not to compete head-to-head with some of the big players that will have substantially larger budgets, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, if you're making your location really specific and not like the general, you know, across Ontario or across Canada like some of the bigger people do, like David C., right? That would definitely serve you better. And I think, too, like, I think we're talking about it a little bit before the live, but even if you run your campaigns and you're worried about getting outbid from your strategies, maybe start your campaigns a little bit before everyone else, too, right? I mean, a lot of people are going to be shopping online. No one wants to go brave out stores. So, you know, if you're going to be giving out your Black Friday offer, maybe a few weeks before Black Friday, too, that might be a better decision.
Definitely.
And like I said, be flexible and pivoting around different creative ad types. And just to follow up on that question is don't just drive customers to your homepage. Give them a specific offer with a specific outcome that matches the content of your ad to your landing page. And the biggest mistake that we see small businesses do is just they're landing on the homepage and off you go. Promote a specific product, a specific bundle that has specific value to an individual, right? I would also highlight that, you know, you are a local small business, right? Whether you're a mom and pop shop or you're a fifth generation local business, I think it's important to focus on that and let people know that.
There's a lot of love for local right now and supporting locals, supporting like Canadian made businesses. So just as we're saying before, it's something to consider and support.
Absolutely. So Miguel's got a good comment here. From August to December, assume it's gift shopping and provide the option for local businesses. A branded gift card is also an opportunity to get your brand out there. Absolutely. And if you're using a Shopify store, not that they're the only option, you have the ability to use their gift card app and you can brand it digitally. You can add your own creative to it. It comes through in the emails, and then that gets sent directly to the person being gifted. So it is a great way to get your brand out there to multiple people, right?
Definitely.
For sure. Yep.
And yeah, Stacey's got a good one. Everyone's asking and making great comments today.
Yeah, it is really good. I love it.
Yeah. Stacey's saying, always remember the objective is to provide value. It builds advocacy and you're likely going to get return customers.
For sure.
Definitely. Yep.
Always. And that's why we're really, really big from a strategic perspective is use those high perceived value. We call them lead magnets. But really invest time in those guides. People love them. They use them. Yeah. And they see that intrinsic value. Right.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So let's see. Oh, Courtney's got another one too. We're gonna have to have a Q&A session.
Yeah.
Makes me curious because a lot of small retail stores can't afford a physical location either, but that was kind of their USP, a cozy hipster place to hang out and just take selfies, like Death Valley's little brother in Waterloo, which just closed. Oh, they did?
They did close, yeah.
UVLB closed, eh? Oh, that's unfortunate.
They closed the doors, yep. I did see that on the food Facebook local group. And a lot of people were disappointed. It came with no warning.
So. Mm. Well, yeah. You got to imagine that you know, what is it? What's the statement I heard? A restaurant at 50% capacity is a bankrupt restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality of that business. Mm-hmm. That unless they've got some serious financing, and maybe they were getting queues to help with payroll, but their doors are closed. They're not almost impossible for them to generate any revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's unfortunate. Hopefully someday maybe they can come back when things get back to normal.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, you do see those trends all across the world, and it's really sad to see. Mm-hmm. You see it with live events and venues and event planners that haven't been able to pivot easily to virtual events. But you know, we've seen other success stories like our friends at Cedarland Lumber. Buying a high priced sauna during this time is probably not likely, but they started creating those cedar planter boxes, DIY
pergolas,
lower prices,
and been
extremely, extremely successful in pivoting. Okay, so Courtney's the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. Here we go. Rhapsody Barrel, Gilt, and Starlight Clothes too. That's a lot. Unfortunate.
Yeah, I love those places. So it's definitely unfortunate for sure. Hope you guys bounce back. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, let me pop up that. I think there was a couple more points in there. Yeah. And then the last one, which is super important, which I always like to talk about, which is my book I've been working on for several years. Get it done someday. Promise is consistency. Consistency is more important than starts and stops, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're creating campaigns, and again, for whatever type of business it is, try to be consistent over that period rather than trying to create a massive, elaborate. Sometimes we've seen the simplest campaigns outperform anything that's like way overthought.
Yes.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. So simple and consistent. Do 2 empathy or mental health posts a week, right? And keep it current. Be creative. Really try to connect and understand who your target is and create that content for them. And then in terms of consistency, and we can get into some specific examples here, is use a structure to all of your content creation and your campaign creation. Mm-hmm. We've actually got on Marketer Knows, and we could probably, I've got the template, which I'll share with, I don't have it on this computer. We'll probably scare it up. Is our amazing one-page camp marketing campaign brief that's intended to be, should be able to do it in like 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be super elaborate, but putting it down on paper really helps one share your concept with everybody else that you're working with, and helps make it make sense to you. Sorry, I stumbled over that. But sometimes when you see it laid out, you're like, oh, wait a second, that maybe doesn't make as much sense as I thought it would.
Yeah. Gives you a chance to see exactly the strategy as a whole and get your steps down, right? In a simple manner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, totally. Oh, I didn't know. How come I can do all this stuff? You're the pretty
one. Are
you both producers? Huh.
Hey.
Producer Dan and Matt.
Has got to be a new feature for StreamYard.
It must be. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
If we're both logged in as a producer, I kind of like that. That's cool.
Yeah, me too. Because then we can do, one person does the comments, one person does the overlays.
I was wondering. I was actually wondering why I had the ability to show comments, because I was like, oh, and then I looked and I'm like, oh, I got everything here.
Yep.
Okay. Anyhow. Moving right along. So let's talk a little bit about some useful articles that we did scare up on the interwebs this week.
For sure. Yeah. So starting off, I think I'm gonna start off with an OptiMonster. So this article basically dives into how to create social media holiday strategies in 5 easy steps. And you know, I think just naturally, as we've been kind of going along here, we've been talking a lot about some of these main points that the article talks about. Like for example, reviewing your last year holidays social media posts. Right. Let's take a look at, you know, like what posts performed really well. Was it an offer? Was it maybe a general like holiday post? Checking in with how people did, right? So we want to measure and kind of gauge where our engagement was last year and kind of set a realistic goal. And that's what the next step's going to be, right? So it's setting goals for this year's social media. So are you wanting to maybe, you know, increase your engagement across the board, across your social channels? Or do you maybe want to focus on one social channel that maybe hasn't been getting a lot of love? Previously, I think we were talking about how, you know, arguably Pinterest, it's been on the rise for months now, I'd argue for years. But in my insights, I would say that, you know, Pinterest throughout COVID, it's probably increasing traffic a lot. People are wanting to do more DIY activities at home, home improvements. People have more time to make home cooked meals, right? Exactly. So I think, you know, if you want to set goals and make, you know what, maybe I want to create a little bit more content for my Pinterest page this year. That would be a fantastic goal for people to definitely set for themselves for this holiday season.
For sure. Yeah, I think the other thing here is a little lower down there, they use Starbucks as an example, really think about how you're going to use the understanding of your audience to connect with them at an emotional level. And, you know, it sounds soft, but think about all of the greatest social media. Here's a really good example. Fall Guys game, which is all of the rage right now. Right? The thing that they did that was so genius, and there's a really good interview with the creator of the game that he envisioned this whole thing. And, you know, in their research, whether you know Fall Guys game or not, you should look into it, is it's a battle royale. But literally what they did was they researched, like, do you remember the kids game British Bulldog?
Remember that? It's got different names around
Dodgeball. And then they literally watched large groups of kids playing and how they interacted and what they do. And if you watch that video game, it literally does look that way. And it feels that way too.
Yeah. It's simple. But, it's fun. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But from a social media content perspective, if you go on Twitter, which is one of their main channels, and their social media presence is...
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
Highly connected brands. To your audience. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. They have other brands like Wendy's and like brands that you would never even think would comment on like a small indie developer's Twitter account, KFC, things like that. Right. Yeah, so their social team just do it. They're killing it, man. It's it's a fantastic case study for sure.
It is. And I think it's impactful and important. Oh, hold on. Let me just do this for Hillary. Hillary says, I love seeing comments you're referencing up on the screen. As a viewer, I feel more up to speed on the broadcast and involved with the conversation, which has been a huge, especially during COVID times. Well, thanks. Yeah. We really dig StreamYard. It does a lot of really cool things for us. And this is one of my favorite features as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
So the other thing that is important from crafting a content strategy that's really impactful on the Fall Guys game is that they lead, like, social media isn't a bolt-on for them. So here's an example. They had tons of brands asking, you know, we want a custom skin. We want a custom skin. We want a custom skin. And this is all about great content, which is referenced in that OptiMonster article. So what they did was they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. For 2 weeks, we're going to have an auction on Twitter. Like, this is zero technology behind it. Right. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to tweet at us with your bid. We're going to let it go for 2 weeks. Whoever's the highest bidder will win their skin. And I can't remember the name of the charity, but it's for accessible gaming. So for support people with disabilities, because people with disabilities get a great sense of community out of gaming together, right? Mm-hmm. It allows people to communicate that may have other challenging issues to deal with. So it's a great cause. I think they're up to $425,000 right now.
It's insane. It's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they anticipate it might get up to a million. I know they've actually released a poll that people were determining whether or not they were going to hit a million followers first on Twitter or $1 million on the auction. And it's actually insane because this social profile on Twitter, I'd probably say isn't even like a month old yet. No, it's literally three weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. It's brand new.
So, again, it may seem like a wild statement to say, yeah, but that's a video game. And this is an indie development company that the publisher is called Devolver. And so these guys were coming at it, and you watch the interview. And this goes back to the importance of being flexible, understanding your audience, connecting with them on an emotional level. And that's an extreme example, but it's a great example of something very simple. Like this game, if I get the feeling that game itself, without that Twitter account, it'll still be popular. Don't get me wrong. But you see a lot of very popular games with absolutely trash social media, right?
Absolutely. One thing I'll say about that was at the beginning of the game launch, their server, they hadn't. So this game was created, long story short, it was basically a party game that you play with your friends on the couch. It wasn't supposed to be anything competitive or anything huge. So when it got released, it caught wildfire, and their servers were actually just being destroyed by the amount of traffic. It was down. People were mad, and they didn't know what to do, right? Because they didn't anticipate the game growing this quickly. So instead, what they did was they said, okay, well, like the servers are being fixed, so what else can we do at this time? So they shifted their entire outlook to their social channels and just had fun with their social channels, kind of making fun of themselves, you know, commenting on people who were frustrated. Right. So it's interesting how quickly they I guess you could say kind of shifted their strategy. Right.
They also gave away free skins. So they were listening and they were understanding, like, again, bringing back that empathy. They understood, like, you have this game, you're excited, you're disappointed. And they said, well, anyone who is just dealing with our issues right now, you know what, here's a free skin for you. Right. So that was all communicated through social media.
And it's a great example. Again, even if you're a small local business or if you're a B2B business, is getting that level of connection during your holiday campaigns is one possible. Right. And don't expect to be like the Fall Guys game. It's a different level, but you can certainly take learnings from what they've been doing and adapt it to your specific scenario, which is really, and this, we just kind of threw this in, you know, this wasn't planned in anything that we had done in the production of this, but it really is a great way. Just go and look at what they're doing and how they're doing it and look at how they talk to their, customers. They joke around with their customers. They make fun of themselves. You know, they, I mean, one of the stories, and if you're not in the industry, maybe you would have seen it because it was all over the place, was Tim the Tapman. He's a streamer and he played something like a few hundred games. He had played for like a week and he didn't get a single win. It turned into an internet meme. It turned into a joke, but it was on the New York Times. It was on ESPN, like main ESPN, not just ESPN esports. All because he's very self-deprecating, making fun of himself, you know, like Ninja tweeted at him. I have a lot of respect for how you've taken able to monetize mediocre gameplay, you know, and that became a thing. So anyhow, it's not to veer too far off topic on this because we could probably talk about this all day long. But when you're crafting your holiday content, that's how you want to try to do it, is really try your hardest. And look, your audience may be addressable audience of a few thousand people, depending on where you are. And that's okay, right? It's all about, it's all about setting your goals that make sense for your business. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Make a connection, be relatable. Definitely.
Yep. For sure.
Probably should point out the Facebook Christmas marketing guide as well. I think that's probably pretty.
Yeah. I think we're going to put that one up next. So let's see right here. So yeah, so Facebook published a new Christmas marketing guide for the 2020 holiday season. And they're doing this just to kind of, you know, help businesses get a sense of bearings for their future campaigns. So let me just see here if I can bring it up. So they kind of include some stats here for customer journey. Now I'm going to try and blow this up just a little bit so people can see. So they can kind of talk about, you know, holiday shoppers using mobile. So as you can see here, boomers, it's increased quite a bit as well. But also they include calendar, I guess you could say nice little Gantt charts on how people should be preparing for the holiday season this year.
Yeah, that's really useful, especially if you're, you know, a smaller business, you don't have a marketing agency or a marketing team. It lays it out quite nicely to get your planning in place in a really useful and easy way.
Yeah, and I just want to point out with this one that they have planned from June all the way to the holidays. Look, like we said before, if you're not thinking about the holidays right now and you're not planning out your campaigns and your strategies, you might be in a little bit of trouble, because look, they're spending 3 months here making sure everything's firing correctly, all your pixels are set up right, you know, you're test conversions are converting properly and you're able to track everything. And then it kind of goes into, like, you know, the see, think, do, care strategy, right? Within a 3 to 4 month period, right? So preparing, awareing, and converting your audience.
Yeah. And this year, especially, watch out for the actual physical shipping issues that may result by a huge number of e-commerce sales. So you want to actually push that back and start your campaigns earlier, give them more time, because if you rush up to, you know, launching a bunch of stuff in mid-December, who knows how all of the postal and courier services are going to be able to hold up with their ability to deliver.
And you know what? There's a funny story with that with one of our clients. You know, they had a, during COVID, I think it was Father's Day or something like that, and their campaigns are just killing it, right? And you know, we talked to him. He said, I really want you to shut off the campaigns right now. And I kind of said, like, well, like, why would you want to, like, these are one of the best campaigns that we've had for you so far. He said, look, like, the shipping with COVID and stuff like that is insane. And, you know, for my business, I don't want to, you know, make more sales and risk my customers being unhappy with me because, you know, I'm not able to keep up.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a real thing right now. And, you know, and I think, you know, you're going to be killing it in numbers if your strategy is right. But if you're not getting your customers, their products and stuff, and they're having a terrible experience, it's not worth it in the long run.
Break your brand. Yeah.
Now, another tip for, especially physical e-commerce, like physical products being shipped, is if there is an issue and there's a way that you can still make the sale, it's either a virtual option, right, that will be delivered at a later date, and providing that person with something that they can put into a card, whether they print it off, right? Maybe you're able to actually send that as a physical package, whether it's an actual gift card or a really nicely done certificate, something like that. So we've had success with simple things like that make a huge difference for people. Okay, so we're running out of time here, and I've actually we're going out to dinner with some friends.
Hey, right on. That's nice. Great.
Yeah. One of the Cambridge Mills, so we'll see.
Hey, right on. Awesome. Yeah.
It'll be a nice time.
Yeah, so let's pull up the content structure and content strategy. And this is kind of the last point. Beyond structuring your campaigns, the content, obviously, of those campaigns is extremely important. And we've got a couple of just an example here that writing for your audience needs to have a specific type of structure in order to gain that engagement. You don't want to let your content fall flat. Right. And there are formulas that exist in the world that are known to work. And by doing it this way, you'll see... Good one, Courtney. No, I don't have friends. My wife has friends, and I'm by default, I'm allowed to be friends with them. So that's how that works. So when you're creating your structures, and there's structures for email marketing, there's structures for social media marketing, right? There's different structures that work well on Twitter. There's different structures that work well on Instagram. So don't just write your content as a generic catch-all and publish it to a whole bunch of different platforms. So one of the things that we can break down here, this is from an email, is one, obviously, always a personalized introduction. Make it an impactful hook and something to build that relationship with. The second thing is, before you get into anything, why am I messaging you? Why are you seeing this content? And what's in it for you? Right?
Right.
Always providing value to your lead or to your customer makes your content hopefully not annoying, right? So what's in it for you? Now, in this particular case, this is a B2B example here. What we try to do with this one, it extends a little bit, but there's a very clear call to action. What's in it for you? So here we give out free LinkedIn content so people can share it and reuse that content, basically doing a content schedule for them, at least doing a majority of the work. That always works with PR as well, where journalists and writers just love to have stuff written for them so they can meet their deadlines.
Yep.
Right. And then this particular case, what we're trying to do is we're trying to share knowledge and of things that can get a little bit technical. And so we put it right in the body of the email so we don't have to go and gate it and download and do this and do that. It's just right there for you. It's consumable and it's relatively snackable, but it contains high value, high quality information. So that's an example of a structure. And all of your content can be structured in a very similar way. I think the most important final tip that I would give is get them at the hook. That's the most important thing. You got to hook them right away. Yes. Don't try to be too witty and you know, get to it later. But that hook, as quickly as possible, gives you the opportunity for them to continue to consume the content in a very scannable world. So
for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the Benny B will be posting this in the chat as well for people to definitely take a look at it on their time, because there's some good stuff here and shout out. Sure. I think this was Matei who put this together.
Yes.
It was, yeah. So shout out to Matei. Good job. And I think we're good. Great.
Right on. All right. You guys have, you folks have any big plans this weekend?
Moving boxes.
Moving on.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Just going to enjoy the outside. I got to maybe do a little bit of fishing and stuff like that. So,
Yeah. What about you, Dan?
Go on the Grand.
I'm fixing my hot tub and cleaning it out.
Nice.
I'm going to take a walk down the Speed River. We could do this walk and I wear like a bathing suit and duckies and I would walk actually in the river.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Enjoy the summer weather while it lasts, right?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Because
it's creeping up fast. So.
Just to be a buzz, Killington, you know that it's almost over. September's always nice, so don't fear.
I know.
But when it's over for Canadians, boys,
and girls, it's over.
He's just not looking forward to it. Yeah. We've already talked about it. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that I hopefully travel restrictions will ease. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have several international clients then in friendly climates that I could go on a regular schedule of visiting.
Yeah.
I find if I can get a week,
absolutely,
it really helps in January, February. One week in January, 1 week in February, 1 week in March, and you can feel a lot better about things. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
So we shall see. All right, everyone. Well, thanks a lot for joining us on Live at the Hive. We will see you next week for episode 145.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
See you then.
Bye, guys.